All right, good evening. We're going to pick up in Genesis chapter 20. Lord willing, we're going to get through Genesis 20 and the latter portion of Genesis 21. So we're going to talk about Abraham's interactions with a man named Abimelech. And so we're going to get, again, through Genesis 20, and then in Genesis 21, we're going to pick up in 22 and finish out the chapter 22, and we'll come back next time to the birth of Isaac at the beginning of Genesis 21. So I want to knock out tonight Abraham and Abimelech. So about 25 years after the first time that Abraham tells somebody that his wife is his sister, we have another story along these very same lines. This is a different story, and we'll draw out some theological truths from this story, even though it reads very similarly to what we saw in Abraham's life previously. So in Genesis chapter 20, it says that Abraham journeyed from there where he was toward the land of the Negev, which is just means, we've said this before, it just means sort of the south, the southern part of Canaan, and settled between Kadesh and Shur. Then he sojourned in Gerar. And so he's, again, right in between what we would call modern-day Jerusalem and Egypt in the south part of the land of Canaan. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." So Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night and said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is married." Now Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay a nation even though blameless? Did he," meaning Abraham, "not himself say to me, 'She is my sister,' and she herself said, 'He is my brother'? In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands I have done this." Then God said to him in the dream, "Yes, I know that in the integrity of your heart you have done this, and I also kept you from sinning against me, therefore I did not let you touch her. Now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours." So let's stop there now for a second. So Abraham is now journeying southward in Canaan, settling down, and he comes to Abimelech. Abimelech is actually not a name, it's a title. Okay, so as we go ahead in Genesis 26, we will find Isaac interacting with a person named Abimelech. It is most likely not the same person. Abimelech is like a title that is like Pharaoh in Egypt. All right, and so it just means basically father of a king or king. And so Abraham runs into this king or local ruler here in the southern part of Canaan. And Abraham is anticipating that Sarah will be seen and will be taken into the harem of Abimelech, which again happened previously when Abraham went to Egypt. And he's correct. That's in fact what happens. So Sarah is taken into Abimelech's harem, and God comes to Abimelech graciously during the night in a dream, right? And basically says, "You're a dead man, right? This woman whom you have recently taken is married, right?" This chapter repeatedly makes it clear that Abimelech did not touch Sarah. Okay, we see that the first time in verse 4, and there will be a culmination of that truth in verse 16. Right, so kind of bookends on the story. God, through His Holy Spirit, in the Scriptures written by Moses, makes it very clear that this man, whose title is Abimelech, does not touch Sarah. And this is very important. Why? Because in the last chapter, what did God promise to Abraham and Sarah? A son. That's right. All right? That's right. Sarah was going to have a son by God's promise. And it was going to be Abraham's son. So throughout this whole chapter 20, this whole incident between Abraham and Abimelech, what we will see, or what we should see, is God's preserving hand. God is he's made a promise. He's going to keep his promise. And Abraham's stupidity is not going to follow that up. All right? So it's very important to understand. And the text is very clear on this issue. So God speaks to Abimelech in a dream. Verse 4, Abimelech had not come near to her, Sarah. Abimelech responds to God, "Lord, wilt thou slay a nation even though blameless?" What does this remind us of? Have we seen this very recently? Mm-hmm. Within Abraham, of course. Let's go back to chapter 18, verse 25. This is 18:23. Abraham comes near. So Lot is living in Sodom, and God tells Abraham he's going to destroy Sodom. And in 18:23, Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous who are in it?" Verse 25, "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly?" So, in Abraham's intercessory prayer for Sodom, which really specifically was for Lot and his family, he appeals, we made the point when we were talking about this a couple times ago, he appeals to God's righteousness. "God, you are too righteous, right, to do such a thing, to kill off the righteous with the wicked." And the very same thing here, and this is interesting as we get through the rest of this particular chapter, Abraham's assumptions about Abimelech, but really what's true about Abimelech. And what's true about Abimelech that we see here in verses 4 and 5 is Abimelech himself, this pagan king, is appealing to God's righteousness. He's basically pleading ignorance. And he was ignorant. Look at that, verse 5. "Did he, Abraham, not himself say to me, 'She's my sister'? And she herself said, 'He is my brother.' In the integrity of my heart and in the innocence of my hands, I have done this." And God, just almost unbelievably in verse 6, affirms him. "Yes, I know that in the integrity of your heart you have done this." He absolves Abimelech of the wrongdoing. But Abimelech appeals to God's righteousness. "God, how can you judge me when I assumed that Abraham and Sarah were telling me the truth?" All right? And in verse 6, we see another aspect of God's divine mercy and grace. Why? What is the root cause of why Abimelech didn't touch Sarah in verse 6? Yeah. Yes, God. God says, "I know that you've done this in the integrity of your heart. I know you believed Abraham and Sarah told the truth. And I also kept you from sinning against me. I did not let you touch her." Right? So at the root of Abimelech's integrity is God in his sovereignty. Because God's sovereign. We're not ashamed of that here at Abiding Grace Church. God is sovereign over all things. Even, it seems like, the acts or inaction of men. Isn't that what it says? It says, God's grace towards Abimelech was he restrained Abimelech from sinning with Sarah. Okay? Of course, there are some stipulations for ongoing grace. Verse 7, "Restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. If you don't restore her, you are a dead man." So Abimelech has to act. He has to respond to God's mercy. All right? couple things here in verse 7. That word prophet, that's the first time that word appears in the text of the Old Testament. So that's pretty significant, right? So Abraham is called a prophet. And again, what we see Abraham will do is he will intercede. So what we saw in Genesis 18 on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah, again, specifically for Lot and his family, Abraham is interceding for them. And here, God tells Abimelech, Abraham's going to intercede for you. Right? Abraham's going to stand in the gap. He's going to pray for you. You will live, assuming, of course, you restore Sarah to her husband, Abraham. Verse 8, so Abimelech arose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their hearing. And the men were greatly frightened. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what have you encountered or what have you seen that you have done this thing? Here's how Abraham responds. Verse 11, Abraham says, because I thought, surely there is no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she actually is my sister, the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came about when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, this is the kindness which you will show to me. Everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother. Let's stop there for a second. Abraham, verse 11, assumes what about Abimelech and his kingdom? Very clear, verse 11.
They're like Sodom.
That's right. That's actually an excellent observation, okay? Because we're just coming off of this fire and brimstone deal from Sodom that's not too far from here, okay? A couple of good solid drivers, okay? That's about it, all right? That's a golf analogy, right? It's not very far. Right? So Abraham assumes of Abimelech, who's sort of like in the neighboring county, that he is like Sodom. And specifically verse 11, there's no fear of God in this place in a manner similar to what he observed in Sodom. No doubt about that. The irony in the text is what? Abimelech and his servants, verse 8, were greatly afraid. Abimelech, or Abraham, had Abimelech and his kingdom all wrong. All wrong. And he was so wrong about Abimelech. Verses 9 and 10. Here's what you have. You have a prophet, Abraham, who's being rebuked by a pagan, Abimelech. That's what you have. Because of his sin, Abraham's sin, his stupidity. He's already learned this lesson, so we thought. Apparently not. Abraham the prophet gets rebuked by Abimelech the pagan. All right? Abimelech and his servants and his kingdom were in fact God-fearers. That's very clear from the text. Turns out that it's probably true what Abraham is saying here. He is related in some sense, most likely, to Sarah. Okay? But that doesn't justify what he told Abimelech, nor what he told Pharaoh in Egypt in Genesis 12 either. Again, this is 25 years after the last time this happened. Okay, at least 25 years. Verse 14, Abimelech then took sheep and oxen and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham and restored his wife Sarah to him. So Abimelech, again, evidence of his fearing God, right? So he's warned, you better give her back. And he does in verse 14. He also makes Abraham even richer. This sort of harkens us back to Genesis 12, verse 16. Abraham also left Egypt, if you remember, a very rich man after the last episode. Verse 15, and Abimelech said, behold, my land is before you, settle wherever you please. And to Sarah, he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. There's a little bit of mocking going on here. Behold, it is your vindication before all who are with you and before all men. You are cleared, or you are justified. And again, as I mentioned previously, there's these bookends in Genesis chapter 20 here. God, by His Holy Spirit, through the pen of Moses, making it very clear that Sarah gets through this episode with Abimelech as completely undefiled. And so when we get next time to Genesis chapter 21, and we start talking about the birth, the conception and birth of Isaac, okay, there will be no doubt in the text who Isaac's father is. Right? This is very important. So Abimelech wants to also justify himself, right? So he gives 1,000 pieces of silver to Abraham as a sort of payment to say, right, making good, say, what I'm about to tell you is true. I have not touched your wife, and to prove it, I'm going to give you this gift. All right? So his hands are clean. And in fulfillment of verse 7, because God told Abimelech, restore the man's wife, for he's a prophet, he will pray for you and you will live. In fulfillment of that, verse 17, Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maids so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed fast all the wombs of the household of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Right? Again, this, very interesting, right, is actually tied to the promise that God made to Abraham and Sarah. Because of what Abraham did and because of what Abimelech did, however in ignorance, God made sure that not just Sarah, but nobody in Abimelech's kingdom was going to get pregnant. Nobody. All right. God, who we saw, right, God Almighty, who has the power, right, to, you know, have babies conceived or not. We've been talking about that as we've gone through Sarah's life. We know that Sarah has already been, it's already been said that she's been barren her entire life. God is the one who's going to allow Abraham and Sarah to conceive and have the child of promise, right? And so God sort of like doubles down on all of Abimelech's kingdom here. Ain't nobody going to get pregnant until this thing gets reconciled and until Sarah comes out of Abimelech's harem and Sarah is vindicated in the eyes of Abraham and everybody standing around. All right? So God has the power over the womb. He has the power to allow or cause conception. He has the power to prevent conception. That's clear here from the text. And we've been seeing this motif as we've gone through the last few hours. All right? And by the way, as we get into Genesis 21, verse 1, which we will get into next time, ain't nobody in Abimelech's land or kingdom in the Negev is going to get pregnant until chapter 21, verse 1, when God now visits Abraham and Sarah and Isaac is conceived. The child of promise. Alright? We're going to get to Isaac next time in 21:1. And then we'll get also to Sarah's interaction with Hagar, because there's just a whole mess of theology there in Genesis chapter 21. I want to skip forward now, bless you, to chapter 21, verse 22, right, so that we can spend all of our time next time on the first 21 verses of Genesis 21, because we're going to talk about Isaac and Sarah and Hagar. We're going to spend some time next time in the New Testament as well, because Paul looks back on this situation with Sarah and Hagar and draws some implications that we need to go see. But just to round out here and make sure we touch every aspect of the text, we're going to finish out this story, this interaction between Abraham and Abimelech. So in Genesis 21, verse 22, now it came about at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham saying, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my offspring or with my posterity, but according to the kindness that I have shown to you, you shall show to me and to the land in which you have sojourned. And Abraham said, I swear it. All right. So with the background of the interaction we just talked about, right, what's Abimelech's main concern?
The safety of his people.
Well, the safety of his people, but why is he making such a big deal with Abraham? Because Abimelech is not convinced that Abraham is trustworthy. Right? So if Abraham is going to live in Abimelech's land, in Abimelech's kingdom, quite frankly, I think there's some slyness here, right? Abimelech wants Abraham to cut covenant with him. That's what these verses are about. Let's read them again. So read them again with that view. All right. Remember, Abraham had lied to Abimelech. Sarah had lied to Abimelech. And God comes to Abimelech at night and says, you're a dead man. And Abimelech's like, all right, I had about enough of that. All right. So now I'm going to put you on record now. We're going to cut covenant here. If you're going to live among my people and you're going to live under my authority, we're going to cut covenant. It came about at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his armies, spoke to Abraham saying, God is with you in all that you do. They know that. They know Abraham came into their place and God showed up and basically threatened Abimelech within an inch of his life. God is with you in all you do. Now therefore swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my offspring, or with my posterity, but according to the kindness that I have shown to you, all of the oxen and sheep and servants and the 1,000 pieces of silver that I have shown to you, I'm not throwing you out of this place, I'm letting you live in my kingdom, you shall show to me and to the land in which you have sojourned. And Abraham said, I swear it. All right, so now there's a contract, which makes Abimelech feel better. Verse 25. But Abraham complained to Abimelech because of the well of water which the servants of Abimelech had seized. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. Neither did you tell me, nor did I hear of it until today. Right? So again, Abimelech, he's ignorant. He doesn't know. Right? Abraham's complaining. Abimelech's like, this is the first I heard of this. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. All right? Made a covenant. Let me go back and check something in Genesis 15. My apologies. Yes, made a covenant. That word, made a covenant, back in Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, when it said, on that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, we made a big deal at that point to talk about that word made means cut. Okay? Means cut. Same word here in Genesis chapter 21, verse 27. They cut a covenant. Then Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what do these 7 ewe lambs mean, which you have set by themselves? And he said, you shall take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand in order that it may be a witness to me that I dug this well. Therefore, he called that place Beersheba, because there the two of them took an oath. So they made a covenant at Beersheba, and Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, arose and returned to the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a tamarisk tree at Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God, El Olam. And Abraham sojourned in the land of the Philistines for many days.
Okay.
Right, so not much to draw necessarily from here. A relatively short discussion this evening. We'll make up for it next time, right? But this is Abraham's dealing with Abimelech from chapters 20 and 21. Don't have, actually, to be honest with you, much more to say than that. So I'll shut it down now, and maybe we can talk.